A man puts on one bowling shirt and he's Charlie Harper. Hello, Brantford! It's been a long time since we've seen you. Thank you, everybody, and I mean this genuinely, on behalf of myself, on behalf of MCW, on behalf of every single person back there. Thank you for coming back. We also want to thank our new venue, the Knights. We cannot express how awesome and accommodating they have been up to this point. So please do me a favor, give them a nice round of applause. Now, I have not ring announced in close to 2 years. I have not ring announced in close to 2 years. So I apologize up front if the voice cracks a little bit. So let's give this a try. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Magnificent Championship Wrestling! Welcome to Rags to Riches 8! Now let's see if I can still do this because I haven't done it for a long time. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to fight!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Matthew Terry, and this is the It's Time to Fight podcast. Thank you so much for clicking on that play button. I appreciate every single click that play button gets. You heard off the top, I did return to ring announcing this past Saturday for Magnificent Championship Wrestling, and I was not blowing smoke when I said I was so happy to be in front of people again. I was so happy to be ring announcing again. The voice cracked a couple times. Apparently, my voice is not in ring shape, but I'm going to have to work on that. You did hear I got ribbed a little bit for a bowling shirt that I was sporting. However, it makes me smile. It makes me smile that my friends can rib me in such a way, but it makes me smile even more when I can get my friend's girlish laugh on an audio track for your entertainment. That girlish laugh that you heard during that audio clip is the Bone Crusher, Steve Brown. So I appreciate the fact that I can share that with all of you. I was sporting the bowling shirt. I was not sporting the vest that I am, I suppose, known for. I tried it on a few days before I went to Brantford, and I inadvertently outgrew it. Apparently, I put on more pandemic pounds than I thought I had, and the vest just does not fit the way it should. So I'm going to have to get my voice, my vocal cords, I should say, my vocal cords into ring shape, and I got to get those pandemic pounds off my body so I can get that vest back on me. Moving forward, probably going to avoid the bowling shirt. Justin Cousineau is on the show today. Justin Cousineau is one of my old friends from my Universal Wrestling Alliance days. Known him for probably close to 20 years. Justin and I have been friends that entire time. He has done some great things beyond UWA in the years since. He has helped me advance my career. We talk about all of it in the next few days as we're talking to Justin. Today, we are going to get into some of the basics. We're going to let you get to know Justin as we talk about him getting into wrestling, getting into UWA, meeting myself. We're also going to talk a little bit about Quan Chang's knee pad. That's a bit of a story, a bit of a legend, as Justin puts it. So we're not going to waste any more time. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to fight with Justin Cousineau. All right, I was going to say, are you playing guitar?
Yeah.
No, I honestly heard guitar music. Did you? Are you playing guitar?
No. Oh, no, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh. No, I have no fucking clue. Like, no, honestly, when you came on, it sounded like you were like, you know, tuning a guitar or something. Now the noise is gone.
I have a very, very limited skill set.
And guitar is not one of it?
Definitely not.
No. I'm disappointed in you. I can't play guitar either. But
I believe the entire basis of our friendship is you being disappointed in me.
No, not particularly.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm not disappointed in you. I actually have a little bit of guilt when it comes to you.
Why?
Well, okay, when we first met, it was New Year's bashing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for UWA in Kingston.
Yep.
Now, I have come to realize that I was spoiled, you know, with getting into wrestling. Dave had a pretty high-end ship that he was running.
Yep.
You know, he was bringing in the TNA guys. He was bringing in, you know, former ECW guys, a couple WWF guys, things like that. So yep. I was spoiled. And the very first time I ever met you in the for the New Year's bashing. After the show, we're sitting in the basement of the, what was it? The something saloon.
Yeah, the Iron Horse.
Iron Horse Saloon. The Iron Horse, which I'll get back to that in a second.
Yeah.
And we were sitting in the basement and Abyss is sitting there and Bobby Roode is sitting there. And we're all just sitting there shooting the shit. And you leaned over to me and you're like, can you believe we're sitting here with these guys and just, you know, chatting away? Now, I'm like a year and a half into my UWA time, and I kind of looked at you just like, yeah.
Yeah, so?
Yeah, well, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't realize until later when I got involved with other promotions that, yeah, that was kind of a...
Sure.
That was kind of a lucky thing.
When I first broke in, a lot of the old... we'll say 80s WWF stars were kicking around. That was kind of their first taste of what independent money looked like, because in 1999 and 2000, the independent wrestling scene was pretty hot. So there was good money for those guys to be made. And that's when I broke in. So I kind of came in the same way as you did. I was really spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, come around to 2003, 2004, those towns start to dry up and then all those guys disappear. So that was my second introduction. So then I was kind of able to appreciate the fact that, you know, we're sitting amongst people who have, you know, much greater success than I'm ever going to achieve. But at the time, like when I first came in, I didn't really have a true appreciation for what it was either.
And I think, and this is my own undoing. I have no one else to blame but myself. You know, when you're part of a promotion that you kind of have that arm's reach relationship with TNA.
Yeah.
And you have these TNA guys coming in and stuff like that. In my head, and I think in the head of some of the other people, but I'm not going to name any names. Well, you know, where else do I have to go? Like,
yeah, sure.
I'm wrestling on a show with Raven. I'm wrestling on a show with, you know, with Abyss. I'm Petey Williams, Bobby Roode.
And I mean, you know, to Dave's credit, he made those shows feel like they were every bit as good or better than what was out there on television, right? Like it was very easy to believe the hype because they were good shows there. Mm-hmm. And there really wasn't anywhere else to be.
Exactly. And, you know, I think that was just like, I didn't strive to do anything else. Like I was a writer and a manager and not exactly, you know, they don't exactly travel, but at the same time. So you didn't. Well, before I get too far and I forget, we were talking about the Iron Horse.
Yeah.
Settle something for me.
Sure.
Blue Rodeo.
Mm-hmm.
And UWA Wrestling.
Yeah.
Which one closed the Iron Horse Saloon?
UWA Wrestling.
UWA did close it.
The Iron Horse Saloon closed 3 days after. So to the very best of my knowledge, we were the last big event there.
I that's what I've always thought, but I thought like, no, like you would go out with a bang. Like I'm not a Blue Rodeo fan, but I could understand going out on Blue Rodeo.
Well, I'll tell you that professional wrestling at the Iron Horse, that was the bang. That we again, and this is kind of funny that we're talking about the Iron Horse Saloon, because the very first time I ever did anything in wrestling was at the Iron Horse. And just today, the tape of that event that I've never seen ever in my life is being sent to me. I should have it next week.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, there were, I can't remember how many people were there. It was a good turnout though. It was a couple of hundred people. We had that place absolutely ram-packed in 2001. Like, you couldn't put another body in that building if you tried.
And now, who was that for?
It was a company called XWC. I'm sure you remember the Hardcore Road Trip with Mark Anderson, and he fucked off with all the money. Same guy.
I've heard of it, yeah. Oh, okay.
He was running XWC at the time, and there was a local guy here named Darren Hewitt who was kind of like the ground man to see it launch. They wanted to expand outside of London.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how he got mixed up into that, but he was kind of the point man in Kingston. Okay. And the way I got involved was, Darren and I had been friends previously. He had a wrestling website called WrestleSource.com.
Oh, that's where I've heard the name.
And I had a wrestling website at the time called 316.com. And we were kind of like in friendly competition with one another to gain viewership. So when he got involved in promoting, he invited me to, you know, this was my first opportunity to see how a ring was set up. It was my first opportunity to like.
Justin, you froze.
And he said, hey, the referee for this event, his car broke down and he won't be able to show up. Do you think you could do it? And I was like, fuck no. Are you crazy? Like, no. Because I was just so like overcome with wrestling was all I ever knew. Like, it's all I ever wanted to do. It was all I grew up watching. Like, it was everything. So like, it was just too much for me.
You're frozen again.
Just screw it up.
Why do you keep freezing?
I don't know. Oh. Am I freezing?
Well, yeah. Like I keep, you keep like freezing, like in positions like this or like this. And so I don't know why you keep freezing. Hold on. Let me double check my connection.
It might be me.
Well, as you can see, I'm in my garage. So, but yeah, because I have an amplifier in here, so everything seems to be good. Anyway, so, okay, he asked you if you could be a referee. You said, God, no, I can't do this. Go.
Absolutely no way. And eventually he wore me down, and he finally convinced me that, I wasn't going to screw it up and I wasn't going to blow the show on him.
Yeah.
So, and I go to referee the very first match. I didn't go into the locker room because they wouldn't tell me where it was. I still believed in my heart of hearts that everything was real. Like I never got introduced to the people in the ring when they came out and I like got into the ring for the first time. They announced it was Marco Malakias against, the name slips me. It was like Boogie Woogie Guy or something. I can't remember. And then they said it was a false count anywhere match. And I'm standing in the ring. I have no idea, like none.
Yeah.
And like to say I was shitting my pants is like the understatement of the century. Somehow managed to get through it, didn't screw up, got to the back. Matt Young was the referee. He refereed for a number of years in kind of your neck of the woods. He did eventually show up and he went on to referee a couple of matches after that. But while I was backstage, like that was kind of my first entrance backstage. And I was like, holy shit, I didn't screw up. Can I go do it again? And they're like, hell yeah, sure, go do another one. I was like, holy shit, we're going for it again. Like, here we go. So then the second match I got was Magnus and Tid against TJ Harley and Romeo Adams.
Okay.
So again, like prolific names at that time, especially in the Ontario independent scene, like much success. Notorious TID still does a little bit. TJ Harley, I think, is still wrestling in the Nashville area. So 20 years later, like these guys are still going.
Do you go from there to get trained, or are you more or less self-trained, or
kind of, I mean, it's sort of a mix of the two. It's I'm not the poster boy of really great wrestling training. After that happened, I was kind of taken aside and they said like, hey kid, you did okay. Like you didn't freeze, you didn't screw up, you stayed out of the way, you listened. If you're interested in this, if this is something that you think you might want, if you want to come and help set up the ring at other events, if we have time, we'll get in the ring and kind of teach you the ropes. And I was like, holy yeah. Like, where? Tell me when. I don't care where. And that's what I did. I drove around to shows all over the place. And if I got 5 minutes in the ring with a guy like Cody Diener, who, you know, wouldn't have known me from anybody.
Yeah.
Just to like pick his brain and learn. And I mean, at that time, completely Cody Steele was brand new, but I didn't know that. Like, anything that he could impart on me was wisdom. So I just tried to like soak in as much as I possibly could. It wasn't really until I landed with Dave that I got the polish.
Okay. So did you know, cause we're going to get into talking about Jason Cage. Did you know Jason before Dave, or like, how did you get into with Dave? And you're frozen again.
Oh, there you are. did I know Jason Cage? Sorry, give me the whole question. I only got half of it.
We're going to get into Jason Cage more, I'm sure. But did you know Jason before you got into UWA? Or Jason? Or no, not Justin. You're frozen again. Justin?
Hey, are you back?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, something going on with your internet? Or
I don't know. Maybe I should give my modem a reset and we'll give it another shot just to be safe.
All right, I'll wait here for you.
Okay, cool. I'll be right back.
All right.
Take two.
Blah, blah, blah. Let's see if you freeze again. That's it. Just keep blinking. No, don't do that.
Oh, come on.
All right, so let's try this again. Did you know Jason before we before you, like, New Year's bashing? Because no. New Year's bashing is... No, you didn't.
No.
So how did you get involved with Dave?
Actually, no, that's a lie.
Oh, here we go. Now we're fucking
now
we're, lying.
Now I'm lying to you. Now I'm lying to you early, too. Like, I did know Jason, but not well. We had worked a handful of shows together. He got his start, I think, in maybe 2003. So, like, a lot of my bookings were starting to dry up by then. Like, I had a pretty good foot in 2001, 2002, coming into 2003, things were starting to dry up. I was kind of out of the loop. Darren wasn't promoting here anymore. I hadn't really introduced myself into the Ottawa like scene yet, but I had worked a show with Jason in Brantford for, I think it was maybe GLCW, Quinson Valentino.
Yep.
So he knew I was from Kingston. He knew I was a referee, and I'm not even really sure how Dave and Jason got to know each other, short of Jason didn't make a lot of friends in the Toronto wrestling scene, so he was kind of looking for somewhere else to go.
All right, I'm gonna have to ask Jason about that.
Yeah.
So how did you like, did who got you into UWA? Who got you into the like New Year's bashing?
It was Jason. He sent me a message saying that there was a show, and it was on relatively short notice. I had seen an advertisement like on the outside sign for the Iron Horse saying that wrestling was coming and the Monster Abyss was going to be there.
Yeah.
But I knew nothing of it until I saw the sign. And it wasn't long afterwards that he sent me a message and said, hey, like, this is coming to Kingston. I'm not sure if you really want to be involved, but if you do, like, you know, I'm sure I could get you to ref a couple of matches. I ended up reffing all but two that night.
I was going to say, I thought you refereed the whole night. Who refereed the other two? Jane Steele. Jane Steele was the ladies. Now it's a trivia question.
The other referee was my roommate, who had never reffed a day in his life before. That was his very first time.
Okay.
And his very first match that he refereed was with Bobby Roode.
Oh, Bobby Roode and Chris Klontz?
I believe it was Bobby and... Oh, shoot.
It was Chris Klontz.
Was it?
Yeah.
I thought it was... Brad
Martin,
maybe.
No, Brad faced Ashley Six.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. But did Jane Steele not referee the women's match?
May have.
I'm not sure.
I can't remember.
I'm trying to think of the logistics of that, because I'm pretty sure it was Ice versus Shanae. I thought Jane Steele was the special referee. But
was
then,
Chantel Taylor there as well?
I think so. I think her and Tiana.
Yes. Yes.
They attacked. They attacked Shanae and Ice. And then Portia came out and cut her promo.
Mm-hmm.
But then I don't see Dave doing that, because that still would have made a 3-on-3. That still would have made Jane Steele and Ice and Shanae against these three hooligans. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Very well could have been Josh's second match. I wasn't in the ring for that one. I'm not sure.
Okay. I also remember that show that I came, like, they started introducing the midgets.
Mm-hmm.
And then I interrupted the introduction of the midgets. And I remember walking out and you looking at me going, "What are you doing here?" And me looking at you going, "I'm a midget. Can't you tell?" And then, yeah, that's I remember that too. Okay, so you get in with that. So obviously you made a good impression on Dave, or did you just say, hey Dave, can I keep coming? What's going on here?
I didn't know who Dave was.
Oh, okay.
I got the booking through Jason. Jason was kind of my point of contact. I know I met Dave. I know I shook his hand. I know we had brief conversation. I'd met him in the past at a few other shows. Cornwall comes to mind. What the hell was that called? CGPW with Joe Dunlop.
Oh yeah, with Joe Dunlop. Yeah.
I had met him there, but I'm not even really sure that I knew that it was Dave's show. Like, I think I thought it was Jason's show.
Oh, okay.
And then from there, like, I mean, to me at that time, it was a one and done. And, you know, through further conversation with Jason, he said that he was coming to the gym regularly to train and wanted to know if I wanted to tag along, kind of split gas money and do the travel with him.
Yeah.
And okay. That's how I got that. That was my grand introduction to I didn't know that Dave had a school. I was oblivious to the entire world until I walked into it.
Well, before we walk away from New Year's bashing completely, do you know who took Quan Chang's knee pad?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I didn't know that Quan Chang lost a knee pad that night.
Well, that night it became a thing, because I don't even know if there was, like, I don't think there was a Facebook yet.
I heard that Abyss, somebody stole Abyss's knee pad. Or elbow pad, one or the other.
Was it Abyss?
That's the story I've heard, but I couldn't tell you who it was.
That would make more sense, because, you know, with all due respect to Quan, who wants to take his knee pad? But I remember at the time thinking that it was the Phil, because the Phil would have been, like, you know, jacking off over Abyss's knee pad.
So I had heard that story too. It was Abyss that. If we're talking about the same story, and I had heard that the Phil took it. I don't know if he did, though.
And here I was when I interviewed the Phil saying, "Did you take Quan Chang's knee pad?" And he said, "No." Maybe he was telling the truth.
He may have been.
Maybe in the back of his fucking head, he's sitting there, "Why the fuck would I want that knee pad? Like, I took Abysses." I'll pass it. And I think he said, "You can hook me up to a polygraph." Well, no fucking reason. No.
No shit. I bet
no
you could.
No shit. Yeah, like, because you didn't take Quan Chang's, you took Abysses.
Mystery solved.
No, because I remember, like, and I'm trying to think, because I'm pretty sure there wasn't a Facebook. There was probably an MSN Messenger or something, but I remember it just blowing up. Just so, hey, did somebody find this knee pad? Did somebody find this knee pad? Hey, Phil, do you have this knee pad? Hey,
oh yeah.
Maybe that's what it was. Was it somebody, because he was changing right next to Quan, and maybe that's what it was. Like, somebody called Quan and Quan pulled off to the side. Or whoever was driving, because Quan doesn't have a license.
Yeah.
There's another guy I should get on here and talk old shop with.
Yes, yes.
I really should. Because the one time, or a few times, I picked up Quan and, you know, took him on a little loop.
Sure.
And there was one night, I really wanted to get home. We're kind of getting off topic here, but I really wanted to get home. And someone came up to me and they said, "Can you take Quan?" I think it was just take Quan home.
Yeah.
And I said, "Listen, I'm going that way. Quan is that way. I just want to go home." Mm-hmm. And I was having a rough weekend or whatever it was. And they're like, "No." And they're like, "Okay, well, we'll find someone else." And they came back like half an hour later and they're like, "We can't find anyone else." I'm like, "Well, I really don't want to. I'm sorry. I love Pete. I really do. But just, mm-hmm. I no, Like, I don't want to. And I said, like, the deal was that, you know, when we got to this point, I think we're in Brantford now. I said, he goes this way, I go this way.
Yep.
I said, on any other day, I would do it, but I've had a bad weekend. Just let me go.
Yep.
Okay, well, we'll find someone else. And, like, he doesn't live that far away from Brantford, by the way. And they came back, oh, Matt, we can't find anybody. I'm like, fine, fuck, I'll take him. I'll take the guy home. And Quan was there, or Pete was there, and I looked at, like, and I think it was kind of like I heard him over here, and I didn't want him to misunderstand.
Sure.
So I looked at him, and I said, I'll take you home. But if we get pulled over for any reason, you don't speak fucking English. And he's just like, all right. And he's just like sitting there, and like he's sitting in the passenger side of the car, just like looking around, did you mow? So, but of course, we never got pulled over or anything, but still. Anyway, so maybe that's what it was that somebody got a hold of Quan, and Quan pulled over and said he didn't have a knee pad. But why the fuck would Quan steal a knee pad?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, I've heard the Abyss story, like it's made its rounds for years and years that somebody took it, and it's kind of the stuff of legend. I wish I had the answer, but I've heard the Phil too.
You know what? Did they tear down the Iron Horse, or did they just close it?
It's actually a giant tiger now.
Oh, it's a giant tiger?
Yeah.
You know what? One of these days we should do like one of these missing treasures, or what is it? WWF's lost treasures. And just us walking around the basement of a giant tiger going, it's around here somewhere.
The center part, like where the ring would be, is the women's clothing section. So, I mean, sure. Let's go look for lost treasures in the giant tiger women's clothing section.
I'm there. I am so there. And, you know, again, before we leave the Iron Horse,
yeah,
I remember as much as they were trying to go out on a bang, they really didn't give a fuck.
The Iron Horse?
Yeah.
Oh, they were all checked out by then for sure.
Like when we were doing the show, I remember like they had a whole bunch of pot lights up above and at least half of them were out.
Yeah.
And we were kind of like, well, all these lights are out. And they're just like, well, we're closing in 3 days. We're not going to change them.
Yep.
So Dave got the big pole that you could use to screw them in and screw them out. And I remember Dave taking out all the ones that were out above where the ring would be, taking them all out.
Too. Yeah.
Going back, finding one that was lit, going back, screwing that in.
And I think that's why I didn't realize it was Dave's show, because he, and I mean, I came to love this about Dave. Like he was in the grind, you know, he wasn't above setting up chairs. He wasn't above switching lights, moving around quite often, you know, setting up the entry, like whatever it was that needed to get done, Dave was doing. But I just thought like he was just another one of the guys in the back doing it.
Yeah. I can't remember who it was, but the extension of that story is, I remember walking up to someone and they were screwing in one of the burnt out bulbs into one of the empty sockets. And I went up to them. I said, what are you doing? I said, I'm just putting this bulb into the socket. I'm like, well, the bulb's burnt out. And they said, yeah, but you can't leave the socket empty. And why the fuck not? Like now I'm taking the attitude of the Iron Horse and saying, who gives a fuck? They're closing in 3 days. Like, and maybe that's why I think like I might've said like, we're the last people here.
Yeah, like we really were. When we closed that place down, I'm sure it ran for weekend business and that was it. It was done. And all those pot lights that were out, they had been out for 6 months before we got there too.
Oh yeah. And
they
so,
didn't
but,
care.
No, they really didn't. Want to support this podcast? Follow it on the Twitter gimmick at Time to Fight Pod. Follow the host at Announcer Terry. I'm a ring announcer. I'm a damn good one. Visit our website, www.itstimetofight.ca. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, email us at timetofightpod@gmail.com. October 22nd to 24th, It's Time to Fight presents Wrestling with ALS 2021. A weekend full of wrestling podcasts from worldwide, a live wrestling show presented by Moonshine Branded Wrestling, stand-up comedy from members of the wrestling community, and much more. The whole thing will be live-streamed. The wrestling and comedy will be open to the public, and every dollar raised will benefit the ALS Society of Canada. Check out our website, www.itstimetofight.ca, for information, or email us at timetofightpod@gmail.com.